We're good. So we were talking about seagulls, part two, and how they fly. And I was just studying that, and I had a really cool conversation, actually, with your pastor on Friday. And I was telling him, you know, the word fly has a lot to do, and wings are throughout the scriptures constantly. Feathers. Rise up like eagles. It's just loaded with it, and especially in the Psalms, where you can see that David was just thrilled to death what his grandfather had said to his great-grandmother, Ruth. You know, the Lord has blessed you to trust him underneath his wings. And the more I studied this, the more I realized, like, oh my goodness. We like to fly, and we want to fly, and James was talking about these dreams that he had where he would fly, but he wouldn't. His feet were down, he wouldn't be out, you know, and he thought it was interesting that his feet were down, and I pictured that seagull kind of levitating, and it was interesting to me that he said that. And then this morning I had a sermon all prepared before I began to pray, and God changed my sense of direction to this, like, pay attention to what I'm telling you, Robbie. If you want to fly, all you really have to do is pray. Literally, it all has to do with looking up. And when you look at the word in Hebrew, you can see that it's formed in a way that on the wings of a prayer. I mean, it really is. And so as we go into this that I'm talking about, I want to frame it all in this idea of, because I was talking about places to hide, was the original title of the sermon. Well, it's an interesting thing as you really think about it. One of the coolest places you can find to hide would be in prayer. So before I get to the section in Colossians, which really brings this home, let's revisit Adam in Genesis for a minute. And you know, he had a hiding problem. You might remember that famous line after God said, "Where are you, Adam?" He said, "Well, I was naked. I am naked. So I was afraid and I hid myself." The truth was, he was scared before he ate the fruit, right? Because he didn't enter into the situation with Eve. He was standing there. It says clearly in Hebrews that Adam wasn't deceived. He was standing right there, but he did chose to do nothing as Eve went along with the whole shenanigans. And as a result of Adam hiding at that point in time, mankind as we are, we do love to hide. Now, at boot camp, which you hear me talk about all the time because Masculine Journey Team, we do these boot camps, which are a real fun time to get together with God and do things. In fact, Mike was just at the boot camp here a couple weeks ago. And we often play paintball. Sometimes we play airsoft. It's a very similar thing. But you play paintball at boot camp, you know, like men would because, you know... There's nothing like shooting your friend. You know what I'm saying? It just isn't anything like that. It's just fun. And so the first time I ever played paintball, I don't know if you've ever played the game or ever thought about the game, but let me just tell you that if you get shot with a paintball, it hurts bad. Have you been shot with one, Mike?
Not yet.
Oh. Well, I can assure you it hurts bad. And so I came to the conclusion very quickly that my best bet in this game was to hide. And you know what I discovered after about six games of trying to find the best place on the paintball field to hide? Is that you cannot win the game if you're hidden. As a matter of fact, you will undoubtedly get shot and you'll never know where the bullet came from. You can't do much when you're hidden. Yet, you know, I seem to find cleverer and cleverer ways to hide. I hide through my personality. I can get angry. We talked about yesterday on my show that There is the motel, the lodging place of complaining. That's a great place to hide. You meet a lot of people, they're hiding there in the motel of murmuring. But one of the ways that really is tragic in the times that we now live is sometimes we hide behind our religion. Right? I don't know if you've met that guy, but when you ask them how they're doing, they tell you, "Oh, I'm fine. Fine, everything's fine." Sunday school answer, right? They don't want to tell you what's really going on in their life. What are they doing? They're hiding.
Camouflaging.
Right. And the net result of hiding, if you've got something going on in your life and you're not saying, "I've got a prayer request, please pray for me," is you can't get healing. You can't bring God into the deal. You can't fly in prayer if you're hiding. You see the situation? But even more tragic, from my standpoint, happens from so many places, is that we hide our failures. But Paul makes it really clear that one of the best places that we can relate to other people, one of the best places that we can witness for Christ, is by boasting in where we mess up. Because when I boast about where I mess up, I make God the hero of the story, not Robbie. Because he is the hero of the story, not Robbie. And so if I stood up as a preacher and I said, "Now, I saw a man on the way here. He had clearly had road rage. He needed to get the Lord. He needed to search the scriptures about anger." You know, I could preach such a wonderful message on that topic, but it wouldn't be very attractive, really, to anybody that suffers with road rage. But if I say, "I know you're not going to believe this, but I, the Christian car guy, quite often, as my children will tell you, struggle with road rage." I do. That's a true statement. I have a temper. I have a bad temper.
No way.
Yeah, and on my way to do the Christian Car Guy show yesterday, here we are, just I'm going to tell you how it was. All right? It's literally 5:30 in the morning, and I'm going down a road where the speed limit's 35. And there's somebody behind me that must be in the hurry, and I couldn't believe they could actually get that close to my bumper and not hit me. And this went on for miles. Right. And you could see it's just starting to burn. Yes, I know I'm on my way to do the Christian Car Guy show. But I'm like, you know, if I tap my brakes one time, you know, this can all be over for us. You know, all these things are running through my mind. And all of a sudden I go, what's my only hope? What is my only hope?
Jesus.
Fly! Okay. Of prayer, right? So I start to pray. I was like, "Jesus, what's going on here?" And he reminded me, and he has such a sense of humor. He said, "You remember what your mother would tell you, Robbie?" He did. I promise you, that's exactly what happened. He said, "Your mother used to tell you when you people aggravate you like that, pray for them." That's what she said.
Love the unlovable.
Right. So yesterday, Susan called into my show, and I started to tell this story, but I didn't get to finish it. So I'm going to finish it now because it illustrates this point so well. I follow the people of the Ransom Heart Ministries. And there was a guy there by the name of Craig McConnell, and he got cancer, a horrible kind of leukemia, and he was having these horrible sweats and these horrible fevers and constant pain that had to be unbelievable. And having had lymphoma, I have some sense of what he was experiencing. But he described the situation that he was in, this phenomenal amount of pain. The beauty of it is Craig probably has one of the most wonderful conversational intimacies with Christ of anybody I've ever listened to. And so while he's in all this pain and screaming out for help, he tries to fly and says, Jesus, help me. Help me. Help me. And Jesus says to him, Craig, this is a great time for you to begin to pray for other people. And he's like, what about, you know, what would you think if you were in that situation? Right? What about me? But he takes him up on it, and he begins to pray for other people. And he said that he had the most phenomenal prayer time he ever had in his life. That he was able to pray for people in a way that he never has been able to do before. And after 15, 20 minutes of this and being just in intense prayer for other people that he knew had serious issues, he goes, you know what happened? Well, you know what happened? The pain stopped. The fever went away. Because he got to the place where he was flying. He got to that place of being in the presence of Jesus. And if you can get to that place, what does it say? In his presence is fullness of, Bob's word, joy. Right? There it is. So we look at this Colossians passage. It's fascinating. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2 and 3. It says, therefore, if you've been raised up, what? If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of God. Focus your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died, and this is the critical part of this passage, where it says, your life is hidden. In other words, what Adam got us into, Jesus has now given us the ultimate hiding place. Now, if we revisit my paintball game for a minute, and think about this a minute. If you were dead, how many people are going to shoot at you? Right? If you're dead, how many people are going to shoot at you? Exactly. And I don't know if your dad was like my dad. I hope he was in some ways. Well, when my dad caught you doing something wrong, if you made the fatal mistake of trying to A, lie about it, or B, defend yourself, this was not going to go well for you. Right. He did not allow you to hide. It's just lying is hiding. It's a form of it. So another story along these lines is my family set me up. They love to watch Dad's temper at times, and they love to see me make a fool of myself. You know, it's just, I don't know what they do get a kick out of it, and I understand. So my son Robbie had a girlfriend that was from New Jersey, and I had never met the girl. And we were all going to a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, I think, to eat dinner, and I was supposed to meet this girl, and so they all knew that this girl had a real thing against Christians, and specifically when it came to the same-sex attraction issue. And they knew that she was extremely radical on this subject, and that all they had to do was bait Dad just a little bit, and they could have a real good time at dinner. So my middle daughter, Tess, says, Dad, did you see that Ellen DeGeneres has a new TV show? And, of course, that's all it. And so I said something along the lines of, oh, my gosh, more Ellen DeGeneres. That's all we need. And, oh, this girl was sitting, like, right across from me. Her eyes got about this big, and it was on like Donkey Kong. I mean, she was like, so you don't think, and you hate it, and off it was. Right? And at that moment, I think my dad would have been proud of me because I chose not to hide. I chose not to get angry. I chose to admit my fault. And I looked at her and I said, "You know, I am really sorry that I offended you. I really am. I didn't know, and honestly, I don't know Ellen DeGeneres, and I'm sure that my sin, if you mounted it up, would probably be greater than Ellen DeGeneres's. I don't know, but I know mine's been great, and I've done some horrible things. But fortunately for me, I have Jesus. And he really has helped me when I stick my foot in my mouth, like right now. And that girl went from public enemy number one to like, wow, like she heard what I said, and her attitude completely changed because I didn't choose to stay on the stupid track that I was on. She became interested in Christ as a result of that conversation. And if I take you a little further into the story, she became the producer of the Christian Car Guy show. In fact, there's a documentary on the Christian Car Guy that was done for Elon College, and she did it. Because in that moment, when you got a chance to either fly or hide, you know, God can come to your rescue. You can see clearly you've blown it. And my father instilled that in me. If you see you've blown it, you know, it's time to pick up the pieces and see what God can do with the mess that you've made. And it's more than amazing. It's more than amazing. You've heard me tell the story about Johnny Hendrix, and I thought about that this morning too. My friend in the car business that, you know, I kind of shrugged off his cancer and didn't think he was that sick and didn't witness to him like I should have at the moment that he gave me where he really came. And once again, I found myself in the position of blowing it. But let me boast more about my weaknesses because, oh my goodness, when I blow it, people can relate to that guy. They can't relate to the preacher that never sinned in his life. How does he need Jesus? They can't relate to the person that struggles. And what's even scarier for me is I don't want my kids to think that I've arrived. I don't want them to think that, well, I can never be like that, you know, because dad's a Christian car. No, I'm glad that they know my faults. I'm glad that, like I said, we just were on vacation, okay? My daughter, my granddaughter, my youngest daughter, and Tammy and I. And you may have heard this subject before, but one of the most important things on vacation, in my opinion, is fighting. You may wonder why I say that. Because there is a peace that only comes on the other side of war. In other words, if my daughters were offended by something that I did or place that I chose to eat or what we chose to do today that didn't meet their expectation and they didn't tell me, they would in fact be hiding. And I wouldn't get to know what they really wanted. And so, because they're all Dillmore's in my family. You wouldn't believe the shenanigans that go on. However, there's a bond there that only comes on the other side of really getting to know people. And my granddaughter, who is 11, as we are on our way home, my daughter and her in the same car with me, and her mother turns to her and she says, "Honey, what was your favorite part of the vacation?" And she said, "All the fighting." Wow. And her mother said, "You know, what's up with that?" And she's like, "Well, It's nice to be around real people. You know, they'll tell you what really is going on, what they really feel. They're not hiding. You don't have to hide because you're dead. If think of the tactical advantage you have that he gives us here in Colossians, right? You have died, and your life is hidden in Christ. So if you're out there on the paintball, you have got the ultimate hiding place. You're dead. Nobody is going to shoot at you. I'll end with this story. So, the day that Rick Wagner got fired from General Motors, at that point in time, there were a lot of people wanting to know what the Christian car guy had to say about that. And I had probably 100 interviews on 100 radio stations across the country that wanted to know what the Christian car guy thought about Rick Wagner getting fired. And I happened to get an interview on a radio station in Chicago with a black talk show host who was a woman. And this is, you know, Barack Obama's been president about 8 months at this point in time. And I'm told, as I'm getting prepped for this interview, that she's a strong Democrat with very liberal views. And you know, I really, you know, don't know what to expect from this interview. So I did what I think you should do rather than hide. I flew. And I was like, God, I have no idea what I'm getting into right now, but I need you to give me some words. And she flies at me at the beginning of this interview like this. She says, so, you're the Christian car guy. I suppose you only give help to Christians. In a very sarcastic tone like that. Where this came from, you know, God just gave me this to say. I still don't believe he did. I don't know. It came out of left field. It was like, where did that come from? But all of a sudden, these words came out of my mouth, and I think her name was Deborah, and I said, Deborah, you know the favorite call I ever got from my son was? And she said, no. And I said, well, he just got his driver's license, and it was raining, and he'd made a left turn too fast, and he slipped off the road and went into the ditch. And you know who the first person he called was? Me. I said, United States of America has slipped off, especially the car business, has slipped off into the ditch, and it's time to call Dad. You know what she said? Amen, brother, preach it.
Wow.
And she turned into one of the best friends. I mean, we had a beautiful interview. In other words, all the setup I was put on, this whole idea of this Democrat that was going to tear me up and all this stuff, we talked about God for the rest of the show. I mean, and you know, all I knew at the setup of the deal was like, okay, God, what do you want me to say? Well, apparently, he gave me the exact thing. Of course, I won't tell you I wasn't wanting to hide at the beginning of that interview, or I can't tell you how many times I feel God's called me to preach like this morning, and I want to hide. It's raining. My wife called me at the beginning of the knocked everybody off of Zoom. I've gone off this thing 3 times. Believe me, if I could have crawled somewhere under here, that would have been really, really fun. But it's a lot more fun to fly. It's a lot more fun to trust God and say, okay, you got me here, you'll get me out of here. And so I hope that y'all will take some time in Colossians chapter 3 and really think about the fact that, hey, I don't have to defend myself. I'm dead. And I have the ultimate hiding place. It's in Christ. And so when I really express my struggles, it's places where people will see what it says in Acts, that you will receive power from on high to be my witness. That's a phenomenal verse, because that's what impacts people in this generation. Everybody's scared. A lot of people are hiding. I mean, they're hiding all over the place. If you go out there and expose yourself because you're dead, you can't get shot anyway. Then they want to, that's something that looks attractive to them, and then they want to know how you get that. They want to know how you get that joy. They want to know how you get to that place. And you will be given the opportunity to share the reason for the hope that's in you. It's fun stuff. So I'll pray and we'll close. Jesus, thank you for a chance to preach today and all that's going on. Thank you for a wife who loves me and wanted to talk to me. Thank you for the precious words of this wonderful love story that you sent us in your Bible. I pray that we would spend time there learning how not to hide. I pray that you would give us opportunities to expose ourselves to where you are the hero, that people can relate and fall more in love with you. I pray that you would grow us all to have the courage to stand up and tell the truth about what we're struggling with. I pray that through your salvation, we can lead more people to where, wow, we get to spend eternity in heaven in this hiding place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So what's the end result of the tailgating on 35 miles an hour?
I just let it go. Do I turn this off?